Well, the crisis itself that developed was really a rather long-term one. In 1174, King Amalric I died. And as I mentioned in an earlier lecture, he'd had two marriages. The first was to a woman known as Agnes of Courtenay, who was the daughter of the last Count of Edessa, Jocelyn II, a hideous woman in many ways, who had a succession of affairs and was notorious for her grasping ways, her desire for power. The chronicles are not favorable to her, particularly the historian William of Tyre, who was an opponent of hers and ended up being a regent of her son Baldwin IV. She had two children. Her older one was a daughter called Sibylla, who turned out to be a very vain and foolish woman, and the other one was the leper king Baldwin IV. And Baldwin had no illusions about both his mother or his sister. He knew both of them were weak-willed individuals, given to scheming, and especially his sister, who was a foolish woman, easily seduced by the types of gigolos that periodically came out of Western Europe to look for heiresses in Outremer. The other wife was the Byzantine princess, a grandniece of the Emperor Manuel I, Maria Comnena, and they had one child out of that marriage, Isabel, who at the time was a child in 1174. I think she was only about 8 or 9 years of age, and eventually married to a leading nobleman, Humphrey of Touron, who was not much of a figure in it at all. He had a lot of descent, but not much in the way of initiative. So when Amalric died, there were essentially these three young children, two by the first marriage and one by the second. And immediately a regency was established. We had these earlier, but this regency proved to be really very troubled. The majority of the nobility at Jerusalem supported Raymond III of Toulouse, who had come to the throne of the county of Tripoli, who came to the throne of Tripoli back in 1152 after his father had been killed by assassins, literally assassins, guys sent out by the old man of the mountain back in Alamut. And Raymond was respected by the nobility of Outremer, and he was apparently one of the rare crusaders who actually spoke Arabic. He also understood very clearly what Saladin's predicament was. Saladin, for all of his success and much of his later acclaim, really ruled a very difficult realm. The military elite, which were Turkomans, despised him because Saladin was a Kurdish underling. He had seized control. He had turned on his master, Nur ad-Din, and Saladin throughout his reign faced opposition in Mosul, in the Al Jazeera, at Aleppo. He was constantly spending more time trying to put his domain in order rather than waging jihad, holy war, against the Franks of the coast. He also concluded quite correctly that if Saladin suffered any significant reverse, his days were numbered. And as I mentioned in an earlier lecture, he was also on the top hit list of the assassins, that is, the Shiite extremists. There were at least two attempts on his life during his reign. And so we have to keep in mind that Saladin, in the 1170s, at the start of this regency crisis that would engulf the Kingdom of Jerusalem for 12 years, was by no means the conqueror, the chivalrous figure that we now know today. And his position was extremely provisional. So from the start, Raymond III understood as regent for the young Baldwin IV that to risk a general engagement with Saladin, to give him the type of victory he needed, was the one thing you shouldn't do. And that by negotiating truces, but fighting wars of position, that is, if Saladin's forces invaded the kingdom, you checked them, you didn't risk the army, you didn't risk the kingdom, this was the proper position, the policy to pursue. And he was supported by William of Tyre, the bishop and the historian who had trained and groomed Baldwin IV. And Baldwin IV, to his credit, understood this. When Baldwin attained his majority in 1177, Baldwin is responsible for the one and only really significant defeat before Hattin that Saladin suffered. He managed to catch in a well-conceived ambush and really roughly handle the forces of Saladin at Mount Gisard in November of 1177. And this defeat almost brought Saladin down. He had to negotiate a truce. He had immediate difficulties with all of his Turkoman rulers. Well, meanwhile, Baldwin had far more difficulty trying to keep control over the Kingdom of Jerusalem than dealing with Saladin. And that was because his mom, Agnes, was scheming to set up a faction that would oppose Raymond and the native nobility who more or less supported Baldwin IV. And she tried to build the faction around her daughter, Sibylla. She had Sibylla was married first to an important nobleman from Western Europe, name is William Longsword, Montferrat, Italian noble and an important vassal of the Holy Roman Emperor. And they had one child out of that marriage, and then her husband promptly died of malaria. And then in 1180, Sibylla married a second fellow, an adventurer, by the name of Guy of Lusignan, the fateful commander at the Battle of Hattin. And Guy, quite frankly, was essentially a gigolo out of the Limousin. He was a know-nothing vassal and was actually recommended, by one of Agnes's lovers, actually his brother of Guy with, you know, gave recommendations. If your daughter needs a really good-looking, handsome fellow, I've got one in mind, my brother, please marry him. And Guy owed all of his position to his wife, Sibylla. And from the start, Baldwin IV didn't trust that second brother-in-law. He knew that Guy was a feckless man, a man who had no reputation,